are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Are you ready?
Stand by in one.
I invite you to let this be your moment.
Ready, mic one. Cue tape. And roll.
Make this your moment. Look back at this day and say, this is a day when something happened that really mattered in my life.
And we're live. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I am here to journey with you to a new day, a new moment. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. He is about to show you how your story can touch the lives of others while bringing glory to Him. It's not too late. Today, this moment can be the start of the best rest of your life. So join thousands of women from all around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to a series that we're actually doing. This is the month of June. I don't know when you may hear it if you're listening on podcast, but it is the month of June as we go live, and we are celebrating the family, and especially fathers and dads. June is the month of Father's Day, and so what an incredible opportunity to really be able to think about this role that truly is a God-called role as we go back into Genesis, and we see that, and one that we see men who are just honoring this position and taking this on. You know, the traditional family structure in America has always been considered a two-parent family, two parents providing care and stability for their biological offspring, which normally has been around two or three children. Here's the question. What happens if you don't fall in that tradition? What is a mom thinking when she feels like she's not in that normal, traditional way that everyone looks at what a happy, healthy, normal family should be? And maybe even the more important question is, what about that child? How does he feel when he goes and it's Father's Day and the father isn't there, or there's the mom who's absent? What happens when we don't fall into that traditional family as the world sees it? Well, we must do better at learning to encourage and equip and seeing what we can do, all of us together, no matter where we fall in this tradition, because people, the tradition has changed. You know, what once was the traditional family is now only 7% of our society. Only 7% of us fall into that, what the world has always considered a traditional family. So what do we do with that? Can we, as single parents, we who have suffered losses and divorces or whatever the case may be, can we mold our children, the children that we have, even though it doesn't look traditional, into strong, successful human beings who love and fear God and give back to our society? Oh, I love about this show is that I'm able, God has given me a platform to bring on voices of hope that answer these really hard questions that help us understand that with God and with hard work, and with examples before us, and with people who are willing to share their lives, that all things are possible. So today, I am so honored to be able to present to you a friend, someone that you all know, who has also fallen away, wasn't molded in what we consider a traditional family. He's successful, yet very compassionate, determined, goal-oriented, but yet such a God-fearing man, father, and husband. You know him as an NFL great, 12-year career. His name, Jarrett Johnson. Let me tell you just a little bit about the man, the person that you know and that many of us are discovering about him. You know, I didn't even know who Jarrett was the first time I met him. I just saw him quite honestly, being my age, I saw him as a kid carrying a football pack and satchel and in the airport. Had no idea that Jarrett Johnson was the Mr. Alabama man. Had no idea that he was the only person in Alabama's history to be a two-time team captain. Had no idea that he was honored and saluted the way he was for his abilities. Had no idea that he had just been drafted for the NFL, for the Baltimore Ravens, in fourth round, 109th overall pick. Had no idea that this young man who stood before me, who I saw very confident and very strong, but yet one who I saw walking around after practice and stuff, kind of nervously wondering if he would make that 51 or 52 man roster. I can't remember. He'll have to answer that. But what I can tell you this is that after all that, that this person that I saw became his grit and his hard work would take him to be one of the most successful NFL players to be remembered. The Iron Man of the Ravens, the longest streak by a Raven offensively or defensively without missing a game. Greg Matheson, one of his coaches, his former defense coach, said, listen to this. Now listen to this, moms. In 38 years of coaching, Jarrett Johnson is the most physical, toughest football player that I've ever been around. This man, this legend, I want to introduce you as the person, the man, the father, the Jarrett Johnson that we want to discover today, the one who lost his dad and was raised by a single mom. So with all that, and I could say so much more, I want to welcome on my friend and our NFL great, Jarrett Johnson. Good morning, Jarrett.
Morning, Miss Kim. How are you?
I am so good. It's so good to hear your voice. You know how much I love you and your family, and for you to take the time to be on Q-Enough. So how are things in Florida? Let's just start there. How are you?
Everything's going good. We just wrapped up the school year a couple weeks ago and getting into our summer schedule, which is a little bit of a change, and you know, gotta adapt to the lack of schedule and kind of gotta create your own schedule, keeping the girls busy every day.
Well, you mentioned the girls. Jarrett, tell us about your family. Tell us what your family consists of.
Me and my wife Anna have been married for 14 years now. We got two little girls. My oldest is actually turning 8 tomorrow. And then I have a 3-year-old who should be 4 in September.
It's just crazy to me that that there's been that much time. Time goes by so fast. It's so impossible to me. Well, Jarrett, everybody knows, you know, about your career. They know the records that you set. They know how a tough player you are. I will tell you, my boys used to always say, if they ever were able to go down on the field before a game, they said, you know what, there's some players you can speak to and there's some players you stay away from. And Jarrett is one of those players because he gets into, you know, he gets that game face on. So as we all know and see and love and admire that person, let's go into just the man and who you are, because that, to me, is the root of all this other great that came from that. So, Jarrett, let's go back to our talk this morning. We want to talk and give hope to those moms. And there's so many moms, as you well know, who are, for one reason or the other, finding themselves being single moms. And I deal with, and I meet them and see them and talk to them every day, and they're worried. They don't know if they can do it. Sometimes the father has, they've been taken away by accident. Sometimes there was no, father there. And then there's sometimes, maybe, Jarrett, there's fathers around that are physically there, but not maybe emotionally attached. So for whatever reason the absence is in the father, I just know that you, your story, and who you are and what your mom did and the other situations that I want to talk about today that created you to be who you are. So to give a little bit of a backstory, will you tell us about the little boy, Jarrett, 7 years old, and kind of what happened in your life?
Yeah, so I was raised in a small town on the west coast of Florida, a little fishing community called Cedar Key. It was my father's hometown. Actually, my dad's family, they'd been in Cedar Key for 100 years or so. So we had quite a history in the small town, and they were all commercial fishermen. And, we had pretty typical, lower middle class family, hardworking. My mom stayed at home. She worked a waitress job every now and again, but mainly was a stay at home mom. My dad was a commercial fisherman and fishing guide. He crabbed and did a little bit of everything. He crabbed and oystered and mullet fished and kind of anything, whatever was seasonal on the water he was kind of doing. And then he had an accident right before my 8th birthday in August of 89. He had an accident offshore and, he was lost at sea. So a little tough for my mom, who was, had a 2-year, had been to college for a couple years, but for the most part was, her focus was us, was the kids. She did work some side jobs here and there, but her main focus was just taking care of the home and the kids. And, this was totally unexpected, obviously. It wasn't like a sickness or something, right, that where she could plan for it. It happened, literally overnight, where she is thrust to not only being, mom and homemaker and all that, but she's also now woken up one morning to be breadwinner and just a huge, huge responsibility, placed in front of her. But it was obviously, tough, but she was, a totally selfless woman, never complained, never rarely saw her cry as a kid, you never saw exactly how hard it was on her, because she's just an incredibly selfless, tough woman. And, her faith obviously had a lot to do with it. But she went to, luckily he was at the time he was studying to be, he was a former fireman. He did a couple years, in Miami City, fire department. And he was going back to school to get recertified as an EMT. And my mom had been helping him study for the test he had to take. And so when he had his accident, she was familiar with the test and was able to get on, take the test herself and get on as a local EMT. Now, this is not a EMT like you would think of in a big city like Baltimore or somewhere around the country where, this is a very, very small rural area. So they're just looking for somebody, with basic nursing skills. And she was able to take the test and pass. So, our first couple years after his accident, she was going to nursing school during the day and was on call as an EMT at night. And she had to go out on a lot of calls. So she didn't sleep a whole lot her first couple years after the accident. I mean, it was pretty incredible, now looking back as a father and an adult, looking back and seeing what she was actually going through as a kid, as an 8-year-old kid, you don't really appreciate it, but now I do. And, it's pretty unbelievable what she was able to face and not only thrive, but no no assistance, no grants, no charities, no nothing. I mean, she just did it. You know, it was pretty incredible to see what she did.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jared, I never heard that story. It's amazing how, and again, how God works is that, you know, there your dad was preparing for something that which really was an open door for your mom to walk through once the accident was. That's pretty incredible. I never knew how she got into nursing. That's quite awesome that he was opening the door. So what did that do to you? You know, how did that change your life? You know, from a child's perspective, and we have some moms who are listening, I know, and even dads who are listening who have lost their wives. From that singleness, what as a little boy, what did that do in your life? And what did she do right? What helped you? Because, gosh, I've heard the story of how you would sit on the front porch for weeks waiting for your dad to get back. How did that affect you, and what was done that was right for you during that time?
Well, I mean, it was, you know, obviously did a lot. I mean, I don't think you fully understand what it does to you when you're a kid, but right. You know, the positive things, I mean, as an adult, you know, I value life, you know, I value each day, you know, where I think we're people who haven't gone through, you know, tragedies, you know, kind of take things for granted and create drama and create, little big situations out of small situations, you know, mm-hmm. something minor that bothers them and they make it dramatic and, you know, freak out. Whereas I'm just kind of like, you know, it's not, I rarely panic over, you know, small things. But I mean, what it does to you, you know, physically or psychologically as a kid, you know, I don't think I still really fully understand it. You know, what the positive things is, you know, I had, you know, people step into my life. You know, I had one of my dad's best friends growing up. He kind of stepped in as a father figure, and you know, my mom was away a lot. So we were home at the house by ourselves all the time. He'd come pick me up. We'd go fishing. We'd go hunting. He's the first one that kind of introduced me to being in the woods and hunting and stuff. And, so it opened up, other opportunities I did have a father figure, you know, some of my uncles who are commercial fishermen, they'd take me on their boat and take me offshore and show me the things that my dad was doing and, you know, things that he wasn't able to teach me. And the other thing is, you know, you obviously, your mom has to facilitate two different roles. She has to be obviously the mom and the breadwinner and the homemaker and all that stuff. But she also has to, you know, kind of be also the male in the family, where she had to show strength. You know, she showed that when I started playing sports, you know, if I got hurt or I was crying about something, or if I struck out, or especially once I started playing football and, you know, I had tough coaches who would yell and scream and go crazy, you know, the natural mom instinct is to step in and protect and to, you know, to kind of baby or whatever. And she didn't do that. You know, she just stepped back and says, no, he needs this. He hasn't got this from a father. So, you know, a lot of my coaches were kind of my father figure, where I got the physical discipline and stuff like that, where normally you would receive that from a father.
Wow. Gosh, how intuitive of your mom, you know, because, gosh, you know, every time we talk, I think I admire your mom even more, because that was tough for her, because it would be a normal reaction to go in and go, hey, wait a minute, coach, this is, my son's been through enough already. You need to take it easy. But it sounds like she saw your potential and let these men bring out in you what she knew was there. That's a strong woman, just like you said.
Yeah, you know, I mean, sports, you know, facilitated, you know, I was always a pretty rough kid, you know, growing up, you know, pretty rough, you know, always playing outside and, you know, getting dirty and, you know, typical boy stuff. But, but the coaches in my life absolutely facilitated, you know, where the lack of a disciplinarian was, you know, from a male standpoint, you know, there's, you know, I've always been told that, you know, your self-awareness, and you get a lot of things from your mom naturally, you know, compassion, love, you know, a lot of the softer things that you have to have, but you get your sense of independence and self-awareness and self-confidence mainly from your dad. And I don't know if that's true or not, but I've been told that, I've read that. And so if the dad's not there, you know, a lot of kids struggle with their self-identification. You know, who am I as a person? Right. Who am I as a man? You know, they're always searching and looking. And that's why a lot of them are getting in trouble, is because they're just trying to figure out who they are. Whereas if the dad's there, they gain that sense of independence and self-awareness from their father, you know, who they're supposed to be. I'm supposed to emulate this person.
Right.
Now, that's not to say you can't get that from their mom, but from what I've read, you get that naturally from your dad. And so growing up, you know, being that my dad wasn't there, I got that from sports and then the other men in my life, whether it was my uncles or my dad's friend that was around a lot. You know, so I had to take that, what I lacked from missing a father, but I got it from kind of a whole host of males in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. Boy, that's really a call to the men who are listening right now and who will be listening on podcasts later. This is a real call for the men who have kids or don't have kids to step out and see those who have a father absent for whatever reason and step in. Do you find yourself doing that, Jarrett, stepping in and helping young kids? And I know you do. That's why I'm asking that. I know that you help coach at schools and stuff. During that role, you begin to see you're much more than just a coach.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I mean, I don't coach at a high school or I don't coach a sports team or anything like that. But, you know, we do have a pretty tight network of friends, and they all have kids our age and kids my girl's age. And yeah, I work with them a little bit, you know, but I would say that, you know, I'm not going out of my way starting a charity or anything. I am very intuitive to kids who are going through things. And, you know, I do, you know, if we do help out at the school a little bit. I don't know.
The Jarrett Johnson that I know does things where people don't even see you. You're more of a one-on-one individual. I know what you've done for my boys, and you've always been there for them, and now they're grown. And oh, by the way, my oldest one is about to have a little girl, and so he's going to be calling you for lots of advice. you're a very individual person to person in mentoring as well. Okay, so let's get back to we have so many people. I put out if people had a question for you, and I have just a couple of questions, or I'll start with one before we go to our break here. But one of the questions is that I thought was really interesting is what would you say to a single mom who is feeling so overwhelmed right now, who has those questions of, can I do this? What would you say to that mom? And there are a lot of them listening right now. What would be your advice to that mom?
Well, my advice, which isn't the most sympathetic and nurturing advice, is going to sound bad, but if you're a single mom, for whatever reason it is, there is a weight and a responsibility that's been put on your back, and that if you are feeling, overwhelmed, one thing that I know my mom always said to herself, you know, dealing what she was dealing with is every day, in every decision she made, she would say, it's not about you. It's not about me. And when I say you, I mean, you're talking about yourself. Because
exactly.
You have to be selfless and, you know, when just being a normal parent, you are blocking out all your impulses to do things for yourself. But when you are both the mother and the father and the breadwinner, if you're focusing on your own feelings and your own, you know, emotions, you're going to be coming up short. And in every instant, you have to make the decision that it is not about you. It is about the family. It is about the kids. It's about the house. And that sounds tough, and that sounds, you know, hurtful, but it's true. My mom, I don't know how she did. I never saw her in the corner crying. I never saw her in the, you know, she just went and went and went and went and went and never stopped. And she, from working all week, up all night, then on the weekend she'd be driving the church bus, going around picking up kids, taking them to church, and then working at VBA. I mean, it was endless. And, you know, it was kind of bad on my part because, you know, as a young kid, you didn't appreciate it. And then later in life, you realize what she did, and it's incredible. But God will take care of you. God will provide for you. But your own personal, your own, what you have to say to yourself every day when you wake up, and whatever you're feeling, is it is not about you. It is about your family and about your job and whatever it is that you have accomplished that day. It is not about you.
Oh my gosh, Jared! Can I just tell you that I think that this is one of the things that I admire most about you, is that you do say it as it is, and you're right. How many times in our lives, whether you have a partner or you don't have a partner, that you have to come back to saving the sake of the family and saying, I see so many divorces and all around me. It's just, it's unbelievable because of people, adults putting their own desires above the needs of the children. And I just admire that. Don't you think that is like coming back to, and I think that's the core of Jared Johnson that I've always respected and admired, that you always make the tough choices for the good of the team or the family or whatever. I don't find that hard at all. I find that truthful, and I find that something that each and every person can come back to and really hold on to. Jared, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back. I want you to think about this during the commercial break. If there's anything that you would like to add on to what you just said, because I love the tough love side of you. I love the fact, two things that you've said that really I always love to talk about. And one is how you don't sweat the small stuff. And I think that plays right into it's not about me, because I believe when you start sweating the small stuff, then you start, it starts to pick away at you. You start looking at, oh, well, this person has a bigger house. Oh, this person's husband does this. Oh, well, this family does that. And then you begin to, it becomes all about me. So I don't know. Those two things just went together really well. You can think about that while we are going to take a 30-second commercial break so that we can come back and take a breath and come back and join us with our guest co-host today, Jared Johnson. So let's take 30 seconds and we'll be right back.
Hey, everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see, every moment can be kind of special. But they can be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Coffee with Kim. I'm so glad that you're with us today. If by chance you're missing, have someone that you would like to hear this later, we'll be in podcast. So please watch on Facebook page, facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. And we'll be able to get the podcast on there for you to share with your friends. Also, if you would like to contact Jarrett Johnson, you can reach me, and I will make sure that his people can reach him, because I know that Jarrett, do you speak? Would you be willing to go to a church or to a conference and speak?
I don't really do any public speaking. I guess I could, but it's not really.
Well, I know you've got your radio show and stuff, and I know that you're very, you know, familiar. But you say you don't, but you do. You just
I've done a little bit, but it's not.
Yes, you've done a little.
Not something
bit.
I like doing.
I know. You're more like I think more one on one. But anyway, so going back to what we were talking about, this incredible. Kind of a tough love message, but one that really will help mold all of our families into better, is your thought that you talked about with your mom, that she never made it about herself. It makes me think, Jarrett, of and this is another question that people have asked to ask you, is like, is there a particular Bible scripture or anything that kind of helped guide you through your life? But I will tell you, in talking about what I've heard about your mom, whom I've met and love dearly, I think out of everything that you kept saying, it made me think of the scripture Galatians 6:9, where it tells us not to grow weary in doing good, for at the right time we will reap the harvest. And that's what you're saying. It's like your mom never gave up. She kept doing what was right, kept taking the next step no matter what. And now she's produced and helped mold this man who I'm sure she is extremely proud of, yes, of all the accomplishments, but more of the man. And that's what our listeners are honing into today, because, you know, few of our listeners are going to have NFL players with the careers that you've had, that broken the records that you have, that the Iron Man of the Ravens, who carried that defense along with your teammates for so long. You know, but what we are interested in is creating the inner man like you carry. So so talk about that, Jarrett. That inner man, what is it about you that won't give up? What is it about you that pushed through? What was created in you at that young age? Or what is it about you, Jarrett, that just won't give up? You just won't settle.
I think a lot of it is you know, the way, you know, I was raised as a kid. You know, I think a lot of it is, you know, genetic. I mean, that's, my dad was, you know, extremely hardworking person. My mom was, obviously, I got to watch it, you know, growing up, the way she ran the house and was faced with so much. You know, but I mean, I came from an area where hard work was, you know, the backbone of everything. You know, there was no, there wasn't a lot of, you know, there was no real wealthy people. There was no, there was very little, I didn't really even know anything about government assistance or anything like that. I mean, everybody, especially in the fish, how well you thrive is depending on how hard you work. And, and that's, it carried me, you know, through definitely into my sports career. But once I got to college, you know, that hard work, you know, was kind of the backbone of what made me a good player. And then when I got to the NFL, it even carried it further, you know, 'cause I changed positions and had to adapt and learn. I had to lose a bunch of weight and learn how to eat right and take care of my body. I don't know. I mean, you know, if I wasn't a hard worker, you know, I was definitely blessed physically, but not near as much as some of the other guys on the team. So if I didn't work as hard as I did, I wasn't going to be around very long.
Absolutely. And I think you were, it was your hard work and grit. Okay. Here's another question that I really like, that came in from a lady in Arkansas, and she asked, did you ever want to give up? And when you did, what did you do? That's a good question, isn't it? Did you ever want to
give up?
Give
up when I was playing?
Give up as a – I'm thinking that she's just saying, you know, as just a person. And did you ever just want to just say enough, not suicidal in that way, but just saying that, like, you know, just the heck with it all. I'm just going to,
I mean, I don't know what if she's talking about, you know, a plan or, you know, just as a child or what, but no, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, mental toughness is one of the most important things I think a person can have in their life. And, you know, the thought of giving up on anything is, you know, I don't know. No, it shouldn't even be in your vocabulary.
I love that. Talk to us just a minute. You said something there that I think is key. Mental toughness. Explain to us, explain to our listeners, what do you mean by that, mental toughness? Because, you know, we see you and we see, you know, as the physical toughness and, you know, and the drive. But talk about that. What is mental toughness to you, Jarrett?
Well, I mean, in sports you hear about it a lot. And physical toughness is one thing, being able to play with injury or whether, you know, whether it's a sprained ankle or whatever, you know, being able to sustain, you know, pain and playing through it or whatever. But mental toughness is probably more important because the season's such a grind. It's so long, so much pressure on you. You got outside responsibilities from your family to bills and, you know, all kinds of different things that players have to deal with, you know, and then, you know, the season is just so long and you're always dealing with some sort of injury. So if you're not mentally tough enough to take all that responsibility and handle it, but then mentally be able to focus on the job at hand, you're not going to be around very long. And you see it, you know, they call it the rookie wall, but you see it in rookies when they first got their rookie year, the first year in the NFL, and they get to about week 10 or 12, sometimes even later, you know, week 14, and the season should be, in their mind, it should be over. And they're hurt, and they're tired, and they're ready to go home, and they just have, like, this shell-shocked look on their face. But, like, this thing just keeps going and going and going, and then you get to the playoffs, and it goes longer and longer. And if you're not physically tough enough to weather that grind, you're not going to be – you're not going to be around long enough. And, you know, I used to tell young guys, you know, welcome the pain and, you know, thrive and you got to thrive welcome the grind, welcome the pain, because that's what it is. I mean, it is a long grinding season that just wears on you. And if you're not used to it, if you don't almost enjoy it, you're not going to be around very long.
Wow. Okay. So now how does that translate over? Because I have a question. I had a question come in from a dad who says, well, what would Jarrett say to a dad who feels like he's just completely messed it up and not even sure how to make amends? What do you say to that, Jarrett? Because this mental toughness plays right into that.
Well,
what would you say?
I don't know what he's talking about, but whatever he did, I mean, you got to put it behind you. I mean, whatever is done is done. You can't focus on the past. You got to move forward, figure out, you know, we used to always say on, you know, in the locker room, don't ever say you're sorry. Don't ever apologize. Like if you mess up or screw up, you do something that hurts the team and you come up to me and go, hey man, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear that you're sorry. Just let me see what you're going to do to make it right. You know, remorse and, you know, forgiveness and all that stuff is good and everything. But I don't really care about it. I want to see, all I care about is your action. What are you going to do moving forward? Every day is a new day. What's done is done. Whatever's in the past is in the past. Nothing you can do about it. Move forward and make each day better than it was the day before. And whatever you did, whatever he's talking about, whatever it is, you got to get over it and move past it. Keep your head up. Keep moving forward.
Move forward and make each day better. Love it. I'm sure that people are writing notes as fast as I am, because this is Jarrett, and this is the toughness that you always bring into any situation. And let me just tell callers, I haven't invited anybody to call in yet, and I'm so sorry, and we're down to 15 minutes. I told you the time was going to go by so quickly, but I will open it up. If anyone would like to call in, the number is 347- 324-5246. call in and press 1. You'll go into a virtual green room, and they will alert us that you're on, and we will bring you on if anyone has a question or if anyone has anything to say to Jarrett Johnson. Again, Jarrett, just thank you so much for joining us. One of the things that I have here that someone says, what would you say to moms who are now where your mom once was as a single mom? What would you say to a mom who is now where your mom once was?
It was in the situation my mom was in?
Yes, just losing your father so quickly and, like you said, being thrown into all this.
Right.
From a little boy.
Well, I mean, my mom, I mean, the backbone of, if you were to ask her, I mean, the backbone of her getting through each day was definitely her faith. And,
okay.
You know, my mom is, you know, I guess she's just a naturally, you know, selfless person, but she definitely lived that way. You know, the way she worked, the way she provided for us, but, you know, but she was still always involved at the church. She was always involved, you know, whether it was, you know, brownies with my sister and Boy Scouts with me, taking us to all our different sporting events. But, you know, one thing when I'm in my hometown and I'm around, you know, kids, you know, they're grown-ups now, but kids that that I grew up with, one thing they all talk about is her driving the church van. We had a big 15-passenger van. She'd go around and pick up all the kids that didn't have a car, didn't have a ride or a way to go to church. She'd go pick them up and take them to church. So she was just always working, always moving, always, you know, whether it was, you know, her work herself or working at the church. I don't think she ever stopped long enough to sit and think about her own feelings or to sit in the corner and cry or to you know, drink her sorrows away. I mean, she never stopped long enough to do that stuff. So what I would tell a mom, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's everybody's situation is different. What she did is she just never stopped giving.
Yeah. Wow. Never stopped giving. That's pretty powerful. Jarrett, what I see, and I don't think you and I've ever sat and, I mean, I've heard bits and pieces of your mom and your life, but you know what I see when I compare and what you're telling me that your mom to you, you became what your mom was, except you were on the field, on the football field. You just plowed through. You did what needed to be next. You just started emulating what you saw your mom do all those years.
Yeah, you know, me and my mom, personality wise, are very similar. You know, and I tired. I'm home all the time, and I don't really have a set daily schedule. You know, I do have some side jobs that I do here and there. You know, I do a little bit of radio. I do, you know, I run a charter business and stuff like that. But, you know, the main thing, what I do is I get up early every day and I'm doing something for the girls, you know, whether it's, you know, cooking them breakfast, getting things right around the house, doing laundry, doing, you know, fixing something in the yard or in the house. And, you know, or, you know, just getting out, you know, this morning me and my daughter got up, we played soccer out in the front yard. You know, so something every day, you know, when people ask me what I'm doing today, I can't tell you what I'm going to do on a daily, on my daily schedule, but whatever it is, it's going to be about, you know, the girls, or my wife. And, you know, I would say that, you know, in that way that me and my mom are very similar, even though, you know, my job is much easier because, you know, where we are today compared to where she was. But even though we're financially and, you know, the way where my mom was and where we are totally different, I still face it like it's the exact same. I'm still getting up, you know, doing something for the girl, something for my neighbor, something for, you know, just always trying to do something for somebody else.
Yeah, you really are. I see that in you. Jarrett, let me ask you, we're down to almost 10 minutes. I know that there's a caller who I invited to come on that will be coming on in just a minute. But before she comes on, let me ask you this. How does your faith play in all this, Jarrett? I know that that's been, I know your mom, I know the strength of her faith. How does your faith play in the man and the person of Jarrett Johnson?
Well, I mean, it's good. I mean, I think that, you know, faith, it's harder to be strong when things are really good. And, you know, we live, you know, frankly, a pretty easy life, you know. I mean, you know, played in the NFL a long time. We're both retired, or we're both at home. It's, you know, obviously having kids are tough, but my mom exuded much stronger faith than I did because of the situation she was in. She was relying on her faith. I would say that, you know, when things are good and things are easy and you don't have to worry about bills and, you know, work and all the other things, that it's easier to waver in your faith. And and that's something that I struggle with every day, is, you know, getting up, you know, it's getting up and even though things are good, be thankful for that, and to still be reliant on God and the Word.
Yeah. It's there. It leads and guides you. And I see you with your girls and getting those little sweet girls in church and aligning their lives and with that. And they're little athletes too, of exactly how you've done. You know, Molly Caroline, your oldest one, has just been such a heart to me. And I've always had that, felt such a special connection with her. What a strong-willed, determined, athletic little girl that is one of the most compassionate people I've ever met in my life. It just, I miss her tremendously and still regret the day that you decided to leave Baltimore. So, but love her, and happy birthday to her tomorrow. So we have a caller, I think, who's trying to get in. My invited caller, if you'll just press 1, we can bring you on live. Jarrett, let me ask you this question. You've been awarded the most inspirational man by 2 NFL teams. Who inspires you today? Where does your inspiration come from?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I get inspiration from, you know, a little bit everywhere. You know, definitely my faith and, you know, my family, my mom, obviously. You know, we've talked about her quite a bit. So, obviously, she's probably the biggest inspiration in my life. But, you know, I gain inspiration from teammates I've had over the years, to coaches. You know, I couldn't say just one particular place that I gained my inspiration, but I get a lot. I like reading a lot of military books. You know, military and being on a team and family are very similar, because, you know, the backbone of the team is being selfless and worrying about your brother, taking care of your brother, and I think all that crosses over to raising a family. So I develop a lot of relation or a lot of inspiration the town we live in now, in Niceville, Florida, is probably about 80% military. So you have a lot of guys who are deployed and moms live, even if they're not a single mom, they live like single moms and their husbands are gone all the time. And, you know, I develop a lot of inspiration, you know, how they're able to be at home, take care of the family, take care of the kids. You know, I get to watch it. Me and my wife both get to watch it every day. You know, some of them have 4 and 5 kids and they're taking them to different sporting events. The husband's been gone for 6 or 8 months and the house is still immaculate and the kids are still fed. They're making all their sporting events. I mean, it's unbelievable to watch. And if they can do that by themselves, I mean, how could me and my wife not do it with just 2 kids and both of us at home? So it makes us strive a little harder to be a little better to our families.
Absolutely. I love this time, Jarrett. I will tell you, we're having some technical problems, but she did send a note. I want you to know your mom has been online this entire time listening to you. And as she just – something has happened. We're having a problem with connection today, but I talked to her earlier today, this morning. And I just want to tell you that the very things that you have said – about her were the very same things that she said about you. We had such a great conversation this morning, and she was going to come on live, and I don't know what's going on. I think she's still trying to, but I know she's also getting on a plane to go help some people.
Yeah.
See, there you go. She's still helping people, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's still on the go.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, still is. But I asked her, I said, what is it about Jared? What is it? And she said, I don't know. She said, he's been my strength and he's been my courage. She said, he will tell you that that I was that to him. But that's what he began being to me at the age of 8. And I don't know, Jared, I think that that's a special thing. When you really look back on your life and you start to think, what did I do that was the most successful that I really want to be remembered for? To have a mom say that about you ranked pretty tall to me.
Yeah, it's pretty special.
Yeah, it really is. So I know that she's had tears streaming down her face as she's listened, and that just means a lot. And I think that is really what I wanted to share with our listeners today, is that it's not about being in a traditional home, is it, Jared? It's about looking around with what you have and picking it up and running with it. It was just like that one time, Jared, here. So when you came to town and we met you, and you know I automatically loved you. I just felt like you were another son to me. I saw something in your eyes that I just really connected with. And I felt like that we were – I sent you a letter. I said, I think that we might be the family that your mom's been praying that you'd find. And I didn't say that egotistically. I said that in the fact that we wanted just to love you for who you are. I didn't know who you were. I didn't know you were an Alabama star. I didn't know you were going to be a Ravens star. I just saw this person that I enjoyed and wanted the boys to be around. But I loved the fact that through all of that, you became who you are, but then you still remain the same. And that's what I want to speak into people's hearts today, is that what you said, just pick up the ball. That once we loved you, we decided to finish that story. We would come to the games to watch you. And, Jared, I remember the games being so cold. Oh, my gosh, I thought there were times I didn't think I could stand, because that was my first year, too. I was a Southern girl in Baltimore. It was cold. And but I remember we would watch you play and watch you, you know, being right there on the sideline as a rookie ready to go in. And then was it that year or the next year? I remember that first touchdown you got. You got that ball, remember? you got that ball and nothing was going to stop you. I mean, you had it. You had the ball in your hand and you nothing was going to stop you. And it was cold. I remember telling Lee, his feet have to be so cold. How do those players do it? And that's what I think is the picture to leave with these families today, because that's who you are. You looked around, you saw what was available, you picked it up, and you ran with it. And don't you think that's the message today, Jared? That in the last 2 minutes, what would you say to people about just looking around and not, they don't have to be in a traditional mindset to really raise successful children? Any words to that, final words?
Yeah, I mean, to me, you know, raising a family and the family structure is like having a building. And you have to have four walls and a roof and a foundation. If one of those is missing, the building is not going to stand. So if one gets taken away, another one has to be more than just a wall or more than just a roof. You have to facilitate many different responsibilities, and if you're just going to sit and you know, feel sorry for yourself, or, you know, just kind of wallow in your sorrows, that's fine, and you can get some sympathy from people, but it's still not going to do the job that needs to be done. And that sounds harsh, but it's a harsh situation. I mean, what my mom went through was not, you know, and it wasn't glamorous, but she was put in a situation, and she faced it and raised two strong kids that are going to be successful. And now she gets to sit back and witness that and feel proud for what she went through. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely not pretty. but it will be appreciated in the end. And it's what you got to do.
Gosh, Jared, I can't, on behalf of everyone, all the listeners and all the ones who'll be listening to this on podcast, I thank you so much for giving us a full hour of your time and just the nuggets of wisdom and from your heart and your story. And I thank you so, so much. And I hope to see you soon.
All right, Ms. Kim, thank you.
Oh, thank you. To our audience, bye-bye. I want to thank you again so much for listening to Coffee with Kim. I hope that you've enjoyed this hour. Gosh, didn't it go by so quickly? Please know that it's on podcast, and you can reach Jared by reaching out to us. You can contact me or at Up to Me Radio, or contact us on our Facebook page, www.rosesandrainbows.org or facebook.com/rosesandrainbows. Join us for our morning devotionals Tuesday through Friday, where we come on live. So, friends, thank you for now. Continue the conversation, and we'll see you next week. Bye now.
Thank you for joining Coffee with Kim, a moment where your past pain connects with your future purpose to create your unique and powerful story.